WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Congress approves another temporary spending bill to avert a government shutdown. Texas Republican Chip Roy opposed the deal.
It does not matter who's sitting in the speaker's seat or who's got the majority. We keep doing the same stupid stuff.
CBS's Nicole Killian says the bill now heads to President Biden's desk.
We really saw a significant breakthrough first when we saw congressional leaders reach that agreement over top-line spending that guides the overall appropriations process a couple of weeks ago. And then at the beginning of this week, of course, we saw that agreement between Speaker Johnson and Leader Schumer and the other congressional leaders to move forward with, again, keeping this laddered or staggered approach to extend government funding to March 1st and March 8th.
U.S. Central Command says Houthi rebels launched two anti-ship ballistic missiles at a U.S.-owned tanker ship. No injuries or damage reported. It comes after the U.S. launched a fifth strike on Houthi targets in Yemen, which President Biden says will continue if rebels keep attacking Red Sea ships. More snow is on the way. There have been at least 60 weather-related deaths nationwide, and Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen reports.
Following this snowfall, another blast of winter chill is going to be coming straight down out of Canada and covering most of the center of the United States. Wind chill values in these areas could get to as low as 20 to 40 degrees below zero once again.
More snow and ice expected in the Pacific Northwest heading into the weekend. The Justice Department unveils a scathing report on the police response to the deadly mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, but stops short of recommending criminal charges. CBS's Lilia Luciano reports.
The law enforcement response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary was a failure.
In a devastating new report, the Department of Justice blames cascading failures in leadership, decision-making, tactics, policy, and training for why police waited 77 minutes before confronting the gunman at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. Associate Attorney General Vinita Gupta led the investigation.
Have you seen a bigger policing failure in your career?
The Justice Department had never seen anything like this. The goal of the Justice Department's engagement has been to learn from these lessons.
Hunter Biden agrees to be questioned by congressional Republicans about his business dealings. CBS's Scott McFarland.
House Republicans say they want to investigate Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings. Biden says it's a politically motivated probe meant to damage his father. There's been no evidence of wrongdoing by President Biden, but the ongoing standoff and negotiations between congressional Republicans and Hunter Biden nearly led to a contempt of Congress finding against Biden. But they've agreed on a closed-door interview February 28th.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile,
for Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. 1 in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get clobbered in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game between the Bucks and the Cavaliers, Giannis Antetokounmpo inactive due to a right shoulder contusion. Milwaukee only scoring 2 points in the first 6 minutes, losing to the Cavaliers by 40 points, 135-95. Head coach Adrian Griffin:
we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game. you know, the start of a game, which is, again, we dug ourselves in a hole, and this time we couldn't get out of it.
Up next, the Bucks play the worst team in basketball, the Pistons, in Detroit, Saturday afternoon. NFL, Mike McCarthy will remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. McCarthy has 1 year left on his contract there. The Packers held practice. They faced the 49ers Saturday night. How's defensive back Jaire Alexander doing with that sore ankle?
He's doing better. Just getting treatment and hopefully able to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low just below zero. For tomorrow, more clouds, high around five above. Some sun's back for the weekend and warmer, near 10 Saturday, 20 Sunday. Even warmer Monday, low 30s with a chance of snow. Currently, it's 6.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Got some more texts here. Our question of the night, in the spirit of Baby by Justin Bieber, which was released in 2010 on this day, what's a song you hate to admit that you like? You can't turn it off. You got to dance to it. What's a song that you hate to admit that you like? Some great texts tonight, as always. From the 818, Bridget says, Guilty Pleasure Wannabe by the Spice Girls. I've never even heard of that. Sounds like it'd be a good Guilty Pleasure song. And then the 920, Steve, Guilty Pleasure song, In Memory of Starsky and Hutch's Tough Cop, David Soul, Don't Give Up on Us. Wow. I remember that song. Listening to that on my AM radio as a kid, and I remember thinking, wait a minute, that actor has a song in the top 40? Because when I was a kid, we used to listen to WLS in Chicago. They played the like top 50 songs every week. That they played the heck out of that. That's a great text, Steve. Although, do you still hear it? Where would you hear that? Probably on an oldie station or a crazy oldie station. That one, you're dating yourself, Steve. Also from the 818, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cindy Lauper. Great text, as always. We love when you guys get involved in the show and join the discussion. Tomorrow night on the show, from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber will be here at 8:35 tomorrow on Nightlight. So tune in for that. Lance is a great guy and a phenomenal actor. So you won't want to miss that. He's always fun. Okay, so now I'm excited because first of all, I love true crime. And I know what we're about to delve into here isn't really true crime, but it's of the crime genre. And there's a show in Green Bay called Dinner Detective Green Bay. They have them all over the Midwest, but this one is in Green Bay. It's dinner theater with a crime. I've always been fascinated by these shows. I've never gone to one, but I want to see how they work. So I had to have this guy on the show. He is the producer of Dinner Detective Green Bay, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Chris Mays. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Well, it's going well. I have not been implicated in any crimes tonight, so I guess I'm available to talk to you and ask you about your really cool show. Can you give us some background on the show?
Absolutely. So Dinner Detective is, we're actually in our 20th anniversary season. So we launched in 2004 in California. Our creator is a gentleman named Scott O'Brien. Scott O'Brien was a protege to a gentleman you may have heard of named David E. Kelly. And David E. Kelly, Scott worked on a bunch of, as a writer, as part of his staff, on a bunch of shows like Ally McBeal and Boston Legal, things like that. So he's living in L.A. His wife gets an opportunity to go see a murder mystery. And so Scott is dragged along, and Scott sat there and kind of watched what was going on and thought, you know, a little schlocky, a little, you know, sometimes, you know, kind of set in a period, kind of a speakeasy or something of that nature. And he basically thought we could do something more with it. We can make it more interactive, more immersive. So because of his background working with Kelly and also working in writing these episodic television, working in law and true crimes, he took true crime cases. So actually, we are based in a true crime world.
Okay.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent, and certain aspects moved around. And he created The Dinner Detective, and it launched in California and ran there for many, many years and kind of spread through Southern California a little bit to a few different locations, and then finally branched out into other parts of the United States. So we're at about 86, 87 locations now. We're about to open a new one in Canada. So we're actually going across the border with a permanent location in Toronto. And we do a lot of, we're actually operating out of the country right now. Some of my fellow producers are over in Asia performing the show for the military over there. So the premise of it is it's set in modern day. We have performers immersed with the audience, which gives it a very realistic and, like I said, interactive and immersive quality. So you never know who really is performer, who's really audience, what's going on. And then you've got our detectives. And so the detectives are the classic comedic duo, Laurel and Hardy, Laverne and Shirley. You know, you see all these different clowns all over the place in television and film and in the world in general. And so they come in and they try to solve this mystery that's suddenly unfolded. It's 3 hours, four acts. It's a multi-course meal. And it's amazing. It's very simple in many concepts, but at the same time, like I said, 20 years it's been around. So it's definitely has that kind of a workhorse quality to it as well.
That's so great, Chris, because I remember I was, you know, back in the day, I was dragged to like these medieval times things where you get a 7-course meal, and I just could not get out of there fast enough. I'm not into that era, that part of history, whatever, but I love old time, like 50s private dick movies, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I love this theme. People, what can you tell us about the mystery? Is there always like a murder? Is the mystery the same? Like if you go back again, will it be something different? Not on the same run maybe, but will there be different shows down the road?
Sure. I mean, we generally change up the investigations every 6 months or so. So because we want to give people an opportunity to come back. Now, we also have rotating casts. So in Green Bay, I have a cast of about 25 performers. We utilize 7 at a time. So the idea is to be able to give them the freedom to be able to do all the wonderful projects they do outside of Dinner Detective, but also ensure that we're going to have casts as we need as well, because we do both public shows and we do private events. So sometimes we're taking the experience to other locations. Different cities have different demands. It's just kind of amazing for me too, as I've done Dinner Detective. I started off just as an actor in it in 2015. I was hired in Seattle, Washington for that production. And I did it a couple years there. And then I went away. I moved to Wisconsin and found out they had it in Green Bay. And I got involved again as a performer, because that's what I do, and got a chance to produce it. So, you know, I think what's really unique about it is it's twofold. It's an opportunity to go out, have a nice meal, have a great time out, drinks with friends or family or your special someone, but then a chance to get kind of immersed in this world and go through this investigation. They're always going to be different because, like I said, different casts, different investigations.
Yeah.
And also the audience, the guests that we call them, they bring something to it all the time too. Sometimes they become so involved, they become characters themselves, which is part of the fun of it.
That's my next question. The voice you're hearing is that of Chris Mays. He is the producer of Dinner Detective Green Bay. So people come out, they're going to see a show, and they got a nice hot meal at a fair price. And the next thing you know, they're being accused of murder. Does anybody ever object to this, or do they kind of know going in, or do you ever have people that get rubbed the wrong way when you involve them in the show?
Not in my experience, you know. I think there's definitely different levels of comfortability. If people want to sit back and just be observer, they can, or they can become very immersed in it. When the guests enter, they have an opportunity to, there's an answer form that is present. It's also an interrogation form. So we do what's called the interrogation reception at the beginning. We get everybody up and we have them mingle in the space and interrogate each other. And our host, we have a host who kind of acts as an MC over the course of the night, and they set the rules and the ground plan for how things are going to work. But another thing we offer too is not just the experience of seeing it, but we also have what's called the prime suspect package. So people can pay a little bit more to actually frame somebody in their party as what we would call a prime suspect. So they get a little bit special treatment. They get a very specific interrogation moment, things like that. So,
but no one ever needs a lawyer by the end of the night. No one ever does.
Not yet, Pete. So let's hopefully, you know, we'll try to keep that first energy over everything. Yeah, there's always a first time for everything. For
sure. Is it hard to find actors? Because you know, your Green Bay is not a huge community. They do have some talented people there, no question. But how do you find actors? And are they willing? Are they trying to get in the show? Do you have to hunt them down? How does that work?
Well, I will hold an audition every 3 to 6 months, just depending on kind of where the pool sits. Again, I like to keep a pool of actors available so we have people not only support us, but also give them flexibility to do other things. You know, so all of our performers are all doing different things around the area, whether it's in the community theater world, film world, stand-up. Some people have a lot of experience. Some come into Dinner Detective very inexperienced. Because some people have a knack for this kind of performance work, you know, the idea of blending in and being natural with the audience, or maybe they have talents they didn't realize. I find with Green Bay, it can be a bit challenging only because of the size of our area. And, you know, we don't have a lot of professional opportunities. You know, I've worked professionally for 30 plus years in a variety of markets and things like that. So for me, it was very simple when I saw Dinner Detective. It was an opportunity to have a gig, as you would call it in the business. Yeah. Right? But for some people, they fall into it, and then it's kind of their first professional thing they're doing. You know, they're getting paid to actually be a performer. And so, and I think one of the things I've noticed too is that sometimes there's a stigma. You know, you see this thing, murder mystery, and like I said at the beginning, you kind of associate it with, you know, old-timey 1920s speakeasy world, or they put it in some kind of a historical setting, right? So it creates this idea of, well, it's very shticky, it's very goofy. But Dinner Detective really walks this line of reality versus the clown. And I think the clown is much different than what you might think of as kind of this, you know, off-the-wall, zany type approach.
So so it's live theater, so you got to be prepared for anything. And I'm only half kidding. Do you guys all need to know the Heimlich maneuver? Like, what's the worst thing that's ever happened during one of these shows?
You know, I've never had anybody get injured as far as guests. I've never had anybody choke in the times I've done it, you know, or even thinking back, you know, we meet once a month with all the producers across the country. We Zoom meet and talk about things. And fortunately, we've not come across that in my time. I'm sure there's been opportunities at times over 20 years. But no, we try to really set a tone and a template and allow for freedom for play, but at the same time, always reminding the guests too. You know, there's a part of the host does at the beginning when they're kind of introducing the rules, and they'll ask, are there doctors in the house? You know, does anybody know CPR or whatever? Well, just let you know that this isn't real. So when you see somebody die, you don't need to jump up and give them the Heimlich maneuver. It's probably been planned.
This is Chris Mace. He's going to talk in just a minute about what he's watching on TV. That's our next question for you. We're going to go from theater, Chris, to what you're watching on TV. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Why are these lights so bright? Did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis. Why am I wearing your class ring?
You're listening to 93.5
the tap.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine, on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pre-game at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. We are talking crime and food, two things that two of my favorite things to discuss with dinner. It's called Dinner Detective Green Bay. Chris Mays is with me. He's the producer of the show. And how can people get tickets, Chris?
You get tickets by going to our website, which is www.thedinnerdetective.com/green-bay.
Excellent. Okay. Check it out, folks. It sounds really cool. And are you a true crime fan, Chris?
I am. Yeah, I am. It's funny because you brought up television. I was thinking about what I've been watching, and I just got done with the latest season of Fargo. And it was fantastic.
How is that? I have not seen the latest. How is it?
Great. Fantastic. One of my favorites so far.
Nice. You know?
And I also have a special affiliation. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I have a little affiliation to Fargo, too, because we just opened my brand new Dinner Detective in Fargo. So it was kind of a tie between. They have a big thing for murder mystery there. They love it. They're big on it. So,
well, ever since the movie, probably that maybe helped them a little bit, too. Although, when I did stand-up in the 90s, I worked Fargo, and they did not, at that time, have an appreciation for how they were kind of poked fun at in the movie. I think they've come around now because it's such an iconic film. So what else do you watch? That's kind of what we talk about on this show is movies and TV. Did you like Fargo as much as the first two seasons? Because I only saw the first two seasons. Loved them both.
Yeah, I loved both of them, too, especially the first season with Billy Bob Thornton. You know, he's such a great talent.
Yeah.
And, I think this season really matched. The one thing I really got from this season is it felt very – it had the same tunes and quality what you felt from the original film, you know. It leaned towards that Coen brother flavor even more, I felt like. Some really great acting, nice. Very skilled writing. And, of course, you always have these kind of eccentric villain type characters that the Coen brothers are famous for,
yeah.
From like, you know, No Country for Old Men and things like that. So it had everything I wanted in a, you know, a Coen brother conceived concept, which yeah. Fargo is. Yeah.
I love in the second season with Patrick Wilson and Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Love that one too. So that's great. Have you seen any of the Oscar movies or supposed Oscar nominees? Or
I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen, what have I seen recently? Well, you know, I saw Barbie. I did see Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very interesting, you know. You know, I don't get out to see a lot of movies generally, which is kind of a thing to admit. But, you know, I'm usually so immersed in traveling and doing theater and things like that. But there's definitely, you know, so I'm trying to think of some of the ones that are out there that I want to check out. The Oppenheimer, I enjoyed that, too. I thought Oppenheimer was well made, but, you know,
very
that's because the young man who's the lead, Cillian Murphy, you know, has great energy.
Great.
To them. Yeah, I love a very methodical drama. too. You know, I'm a big fan of No Country for Old Men or Godfather, right? These things that some people nowadays might not have the kind of stamina for when it comes to time-wise. I like that when it comes to a drama. I don't mind watching the unveiling and the peeling of the process, you know? So, so that's definitely one that jumps out at me. But I want to see
more. Yeah, those are great choices, and I think No Country for Old Men, that's one of my all-time favorite. Can't turn it off when I scroll around at night and it's on. I have to sit and finish the film. That's how I felt about, I was just talking to Matt Miller about this in the last hour. We were talking about Killers of the Flower Moon and how it's maybe could be the last Scorsese movie. I didn't mind that it was long. I loved every second about it just because you don't know how many more he has in him. Chris, okay, so you teach theater. You live in a small town. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of the creative arts for small town kids, especially music and theater?
Sure.
How important is that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's imperative. You know, it's a shame what we've done as a in an educational world and also just overall societal level, how we've kind of displaced arts in many ways, and especially the theater. I think I ruffle feathers sometimes with my fellow artists when I bring in the theater, because and I'm talking about musicians or dance even or visual. You know, I will get on the soapbox and say, well, you know, theater's where it all began, because if you didn't have storytelling, if you didn't have the ancient people sitting around a fire, passing down history and telling the stories of the day and inhabiting costumes and using the effects of being around the fire and this kind of dramatic quality to it, which I've deemed theater as being, just as the Greeks said, it was the theater, the definition of the word is the seeing place. So we come together to watch these stories. If we didn't have that element, these other concepts, which I absolutely love, dance and music and all that, and they're born from that. So I think in a smaller area like this, it's very, you know, I live in Peshtigo, so very blue collar, right? Very rural in nature. You know, the ability for the young people to see the arts, get access to it, and then been able to translate that across too and put it into their own form of expression really intrigues me. You know, I've been teaching. I'm the director of theater for Studio 170 here in Peshtigo. My wife runs the dance side of it, and she started the program 8 years ago, and she's done just a tremendous job to build this program. We have over 115 students that consistently between dance and theater. A lot of them are crossing over, and I think it's just it's a process, and it's important not only so they can express themselves but also to learn about collaboration, cooperation, and empathy. I think the arts teach us a lot about empathy because they force us to look at the world from a different perspective. Step aside from logic, start looking at things more from the heart and where and our feelings and our emotions and that sort of thing. So I've seen the growth, but it can be a challenge. You know, it's absolutely a challenge because you're trying to nurture, but at the same time, you're trying to also challenge them. I'm big on the idea of challenging. And so I've found it fascinating because I've taught in big metropolitan areas like Seattle, Washington or Las Vegas or things like that, middle of the roads, like a Boise, Idaho or somewhere of that nature. And then coming to the place like this that is so much more insular and smaller in population and opportunity. I think it's vital to just give them these opportunities to try things. That's what we do at the studio. We give them all kinds of resources. Yeah. We work on the process. Many arts programs are driven on product. For us, it's all about process. And if you're giving them the tools and showing them how to use them, then you turn them loose and the product comes from that. And I find
for
that
sure.
It's inspiring.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm inspired that I know that area because I live not too far from there. And there are other places too. Like you think, wow, if you put the arts in small towns, kids respond to that and they'll show up. Chris, thank you so much for your time tonight. It was great talking to you and get to know you a little bit. And good luck with Dinner Theater Detective. I hope there are no accidental actual crimes happening. And keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. You take care.
You got it. Thank you. That's Chris Mays from Dinner Detective. I got to make sure I get the name wrong. Dinner Detective Green Bay. Check it out. When I come back, Jason Mansmith from the Green Lake Opera House is going to be here to tell us what really cool concerts they have coming up. Some really cool things happening here in the state of Wisconsin. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, because nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true. I talk to you in the
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Congress approves and sends to President Biden a temporary spending bill to avert a government shutdown. Democratic Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro supported the bill, which keeps the government open until early March.
Let's do what is right for the American people and the people who work in this institution and who work in agencies all over this country.
After a couple of years with hardly any snowfall, New Jersey is getting its second snowstorm of the week. Governor Phil Murphy saying it could turn to slush or ice. So he's asking residents,
so if you can, please, please, please consider working from home tomorrow.
The largest monetary contribution to any historically black college or university goes to Spelman in Atlanta. Board Chair Lavette Russell.
$100 million.
The donation comes from board member Rhonda Stryker and her husband William Johnston. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans in the state assembly passed a bill Thursday to let parents decide what pronouns a child uses in school and whether or not they should learn controversial subjects. The Parental Bill of Rights would allow parents to opt their children out of any lessons about gender, sexual orientation, race, or other deemed controversial subjects. Democrats say the bill disrupts school protocols and is nothing more than censorship. If it makes it to Governor Evers' desk, he will almost certainly veto it. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. The Department of Workforce Development says Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is near record low, 3.3%. I'm Nate Wuggiehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low just below zero. For tomorrow, more clouds, high around five above. Some sun's back for the weekend and warmer near 10 Saturday, 20 Sunday. Even warmer Monday, low 30s with a chance of snow. Currently, it's 6.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
No path to victory.
There is no
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Right. We're all believers. This classic song dropped 14 years ago. Justin Bieber. The song is Baby. Conrad's dancing like no one's watching. We got to get the chorus though. Baby, baby. That's where it picks up. You know, we just got, we kind of tease people and then we pull the song away. And I know people are just getting excited. I've noticed something, Conrad. We get a lot of texts in the first hour. Are people like what's happening in the second hour? They turning the TV on or like?
I think they're just falling asleep because your voice is so soothing.
Oh, well, thank you. Maybe we should be on from 7 to 9. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, great text as always. And if you still want to get in on the fun, the question for tonight is, what is your guilty pleasure song? In the spirit of Baby, which you just heard, you just got teased by Justin Bieber, what's the song you hate to admit that you like? 920-264-0606, or text us on the app and let us know. We will read it on the air. Okay, so we are in our last, what I like to call quadrant of the show. And we've got more business to attend to. I'm very excited. I've always been a fan of small town opera houses, and we've got a few of them in Wisconsin. I was at one in Woodstock, Illinois, where they filmed Groundhog Day, and they just have a charm about them that you cannot beat. So I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He's the marketing director for the Thrasher. How cool of a name is that? The Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight Jason Mansmith. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Pete, how's it going? Thanks so much. So glad to be along with you.
Hey, it's great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about your really cool little opera house in Green Lake. And maybe it's not little. Maybe it holds 6,000 people. I don't know. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we do not hold 6,000 people. I can guarantee you that. We are a small opera house that seats 200. The best thing about it is you pick your own seat. There's no assigned seats there either, right? So when you get a ticket from us, you get in there. There's 200 and you have your closest friends in there to see a fantastic show. Built in 1910. By Charlie Thrasher, and it held silent movies, basketball games, productions, plays, things like that. Then talking movies in the 20s. And then, unfortunately, it kind of fell in disrepair. And then it became like a factory and then a boat storage place. We're in Green Lake, so there's boats. So you need storage for boats. So that was there. And all the way back 25 years ago, couple local gentlemen had the idea that said, you know what, we want to restore this thing instead of taking it down. And they built it back up and they restored it. And we've been putting on shows and performances in there for the last 25, kind of 26 years from musicians and performers from across the globe. And these aren't just, you know, like local regional stuff. These are folks that have we have Grammy winners. We have big award winners. We have top stars that come into this location. And it acoustically, I heard it described once as saying people pay millions of dollars to get the acoustics that are put in this building that was built in 1929.
How big of a, and I'm asking for selfish reasons too. There's a an opera house near where I live in Menominee, Michigan. And you know, they've been trying the same thing that happened. It sounded like what happened with Thrasher, like when they stored boats in there, they came in and poured cement all over these beautiful seats just to use it as storage. And I get it, whatever, times change, but the foresight, like I wish they would have, and they've raised money and they're getting there, but What kind of an undertaking was that? How much do you know about that, Jason? Were you involved in the turnaround, or did it happen before you got involved?
It happened before I was involved, but we have a great history page on our website at thrasheropperahouse.com. You can see the actual pictures of the renovations that went there.
Oh, nice.
And where they've had to strip it all the way down, you know, all the way to the bare floors, rebuild the stage, maybe utilize some boards from the floor to fill other areas to get it done. There was a sewing factory in this building at one time. Wow. So you'll see like old floor plugs where the sewing machines used to be in, but they've filled those in with other wood plugs. So it's an amazing feat of craftsmanship that has taken place to put this back in. And we're just really honored to share it with the community in the area.
That's cool. I'm on your website right now, checking out some of these photos. That's really fascinating. Was there a model that, or a place you could compare it to? And I know Mineral Point has a really cool old opera house. I went to a film festival there several years ago. And I don't know, is yours modeled after another opera house? Or?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm not necessarily sure it's modeled after a specific opera house that maybe is in the location or the region in there. But, you know, it is just an old opera house, and not many communities still have them anymore. A lot of them have disappeared, and a lot of them have gone by the wayside. And the fact that we still have one, it's still vibrant, and you know, still doing a lot of events every year, is just a really, really great thing.
Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit about what it does for your community to have something like this? Because most small towns do not have an opera house or bring shows into the community like you do. How does that enhance the community, Jason?
Well, obviously there's economic development and impacts with it as well, right? So we do sell tickets, right? People do come in, they eat dinner, right? They buy gas, they stop at the convenience store, those kind of things. So that's a great thing to have with the community. But also that cultural aspect that comes on in. It's a rural area that we are in. Green Lake is not a very big town, 1,001 people, the population, wow. Right? And a lot of that maybe disappears during the summer months or the winter months, right? Because a lot of people like to go where it's a little bit warmer. So the fact that we're able to bring this kind of cultural impact into the area as well is just as important. In fact, what we strive for. We're lucky to have this week, we're bringing in, we have the Missoula Children's Theater in, and I don't know if you know anything about this program, Pete, but they travel in a pickup truck, right? They show up on Monday. We have 60 kids audition for a show on Monday, and Saturday they put on two performances.
Wow.
So they learn everything within a week, all right?
Oh,
and then they do
so
this
cool.
Coming up on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. And the great thing is we have wonderful supporters and sponsors. It doesn't cost these kids anything to participate in that.
That's right? Important too, because I think in a lot of families, and especially the way times are right now, that's extra money a lot of families probably wouldn't spend, and they're, you know, not letting their kids have this. And I'm not judging. I'm saying that times are tough, but to give kids that experience and expose them to this in a small town like Green Lake. And we just had another guest on, Chris Mays, who talked about theater in his small town. Like, it's so important.
Yeah. It's really kind of the grassroots of it. And like Chris, I myself have been involved in our local theater. I'm from Ripon and the Ripon Theater Department for the last 13 years. So I've worked with young kids, and I work with, you know, these kind of programs, and just to see the kind of change that these kind of programs can make for kids, whether they're maybe just a little bit timid or a little bit shy, and then for them to come out and step out into something that they really like, boy, this is game changing.
You know, that's a great point you made there, Jason, because I remember, you know, so often I speak at schools, because I've been in kind of entertainment my whole adult life anyway, and people say, well, have a, you know, kids say to me, my parents want me to have a backup plan. They don't want me to do this. And I don't know if people are aware of the amount of peripheral jobs that are available to theater people or people who want to become actors. Where I lived in Los Angeles, most of the people at the school, their parents were makeup artists, electricians, carpenters. They drove trucks on movie sets. You know, they did casting. It's the same thing with theater. You know, you could build sets. There's set design. There's lighting. I mean, there's so many things for kids to get involved in. So good for you. So tell us a little bit about the shows you have upcoming. I was reading about Willie reporter. He's kind of a heavy hitter, isn't he?
Yeah, Willie's always a great show for us. You know, Wisconsin-based, right? Willie's out of Madison, but he's been touring forever. You know, he went out with Tori Amos. He's gotten with some big names on tour, right? Yeah. And Willie's a pretty standard for us every year, and it always fills the place for sure. Great singer-songwriter. We have a little bit of kind of a Wisconsin feel in the next few weeks. Harmonious nice. Whale, who is out of Madison, they're a great kind of like gypsy jazz group. They're coming in with the Midwest Swing Fest, and they're going to feature Lila Ducullo, who is a singer from France, studies with the gypsies, coming on in to do gypsy jazz. And then Robin Nolan, who's a great guitar player, called one of the best guitar players in the world, coming in next week, Friday. Johnny Beaner, Madison comic, coming in on Saturday next week. A little bit later in the year, Rucksack Revolution, that's Adam and Sarah from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades and Dead Horses. They'll be a part of it. So we do bring in some local, you know, Wisconsin talent every while. We just had Buffalo Nichols, great musician from the Milwaukee area, in a few weeks ago. But we also, we go, you know, throughout the world, and, you know, they travel.
That's so cool. My guest is Jason Mansmith. He runs the run the marketing for the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake. What gets you, like you just said, all these cool bands and performers and shows, what gets you personally the most excited? Do you go to all the shows?
Oh, I try to, right? Yeah. There are times where we got to have a life every once in a while, and we got to step back and say, hey, maybe I shouldn't be working this one, right? But we all love doing it. We have a staff of four, right, okay. on this opera house. And, you know, a great support of volunteers and core community members that help us out with so much. But, yeah, we don't like to miss shows because we just have this wide breadth of everything. We've brought in bluegrass hip hop. We've brought in, you know, jazz performers. We bring in rock bands, right? We had Max Weinberg, the drummer from Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, no way.
A couple of times, right? Max has been there and played that show there. So Jimmy Webb, he wrote for Glenn Campbell, right? I mean, come on. These are great people.
So what does Max Weinberg do just as a drummer when he comes in? I assume he brings accompaniment, or how does that work?
Yeah, so Max has this great band he works with called the Weaklings, right? And they're a great band, and they can play pretty much any song that you want. So Max sets up his drum set, and we literally scroll a list of 50 to 75 songs that Max and the band will be able to play, right? Wow. And then the audience members just shout them out and say, hey, Max, play AC/DC, play the Beatles, play Bruce Springsteen, whatever, right? And them and the band will do those songs. It's an unbelievable experience.
That is fun. So it says, I was reading your bio, Jason. It said you're a big fan of metal.
Yes.
And you ended up running an opera house. How does that, that take some getting used to, or what?
Well, you know, again, just the marketing guy here, but I have a love for music and an affinity for that. It started back in high school. I was involved in theater there. And, you know, just have always had this real love and desire for music, and went to college for radio, TV, film. Right. And, I wasn't so good at maybe playing music or doing anything like that, but I had a love for it, and I wanted to find a way to get involved in it. So I did radio for, I don't know, full-time for 17, 18 years, did some other things, and then this opportunity presented itself where it says, hey, you're going to be able to work in music every single day, and everything you think about is going to be involved with this. And how do you tell the story of this amazing location in a tiny town, right, that is just supported so much by the community and the area? It's really a wonderful opportunity. It is.
Well, your prices are really reasonable too. Yes. That kind of blew my mind a little bit as to how inexpensive it was for the kind of talent you get. How can people find out about the shows? You want to give your website one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. www.thrasheropera.com. We really, really focus on the fact that we have an easy ticketing process, right? 5.5% charge across the top, right? That's not going to be anything else. You're not going to get any other seating fees, other Ticketmaster kind of things. Just 5.5% across it on the administration if you buy it. So it's not out of line by any means. So we got a full list and a full season of great shows coming up this year. And we can't wait to just have you guys come check it out sometime. It's so much fun, and it moves you. It is an experience. We're not going to sell you on the location, but we will sell you on the experience that you have when you walk through that door. And the fact that you're with 200 people in that kind of space experience the wonderful music that we have, it's pretty rad.
That's so cool. So, okay. So I'm going to ask you in just a minute what you're watching, Jason, because that's what we talk about on the show. In addition to small town opera houses, We'll ask Jason Mansmith what he is watching. My last guest said Fargo. I think he meant season 5 of Fargo. So we're going to find out what Jason's watching. This is Pete Schwab. You are listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. I have a small disclaimer that I need to mention to listeners. Last night, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on, and he said he had an article that was going to drop today on the paper in the paper about the Happy Days 50th reunion, or not reunion, the 50th anniversary of Happy Days hitting the airwaves. But that will not run until tomorrow. So Chris is not a liar. He wanted me to clarify that, or I wanted to clarify it. So there you go. I'm talking to Jason Mansmith. And Jason, our question tonight is, what is a song, a guilty pleasure you have that you probably shouldn't like, but you do and you can't help tapping your foot? Greg called back and said, Walk Like an Egyptian. I would say that qualifies. But Turning Japanese, I love that song.
That is a really great song.
That's not even a guilty pleasure. That's just a great song.
If I can share mine with you, this will definitely be a guilty pleasure. To me, an absolute banger. It's all coming back to me from Celine Dion, right? Where she gets to that point where she's going, baby, baby, baby. That point is awesome, right?
So that's great.
That is a great guilty pleasure song for me. I am not at all, I'll admit that anytime.
It takes a man very comfortable in his own skin to admit that, and I admire you for that. So before I ask you what you're watching on TV, Jason, I want to ask you, in your bio, it said you're a lover of all things Wisconsin. What's your favorite spot in the state and why?
Oh, boy. You know, I've been in this area my entire life, in Ripon Green Lake area. And a lot of people, when they ask, hey, where do you go on vacation? Well, you don't leave here in the summer, right? Everything everything is great around here during the summer. Now, the winter months, it gets a little bit cool sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had the pleasure of spending some time in the Eau Claire area every once in a while. And you know, that's a fun place to be, in, you know, the Wausau area in, as well. But I'm a lover of all things Wisconsin. There are so many just unique different places that you can step into and just find different places and different worlds, and you know, how you can connect to people is really the important part of it all.
Definitely great answer. And then one more quick question regarding Thrasher. What's the show you're coming up that you're most excited about, that if people are going to go to the website right now and buy tickets, what's the show you would recommend?
Boy, let's see. Heartache Tonight, which is going to be an Eagles tribute, which is going to be a really, really great show. I think that'll be fun. Paul Thorne is always a great show for us. Paul's kind of a singer-songwriter, got a little bit of a Southern vibe for it. Boxer at one time in his life. Dad's a preacher at one time. So really fun vibe, and he always packs the show in there. And also Scary Vore. We have a Scottish pop rock band that comes in and absolutely tears the roof off that place every single year.
I love it, man. Great answers. All right, so there you go. Check out the website, folks, and go see this really cool venue in Green Lake. So what do you watch? You're done at the Opera House. You got the day behind you. You've booked really cool shows. You got Bruce Springsteen coming. You've done your job. what are you watching or binge watching, Jason?
You know, I'm a little bit all over the place on that stuff. So I fell in love with The Crown, right? In season number one with Claire Foy, right? She was great in that. And then when I heard Olivia Colman was coming in to play the Queen version two, I kind of liked Olivia Colman in this show called Broadchurch. It was like this BBC version of, you know, Law and Order, right? Just a little bit darker, though. She was great in there. So I enjoyed watching that. I'm kind of getting to the season where we need to be now that just dropped here a few months ago. So I've been getting to that point there. But there's another show that the entire show ended last year, but I followed along, and it started out on regular TV, and then it just kind of drifted into, just on the stream service. But do you remember the show Sons of Anarchy? Do you remember watching that? Okay. So there was a spinoff of that show called Mayans.
Yeah. I did not watch it, though.
Oh, my God. It got darker and darker as the seasons went along, so I really got into that show as well, too. So enjoyed that. And then did you see Money Heist at all?
You know what? I did. I saw the first season. I want to say I hung with it for about 10 episodes.
Okay.
And then I was like, come on, wrap this up. But it was good. Like, I didn't dislike it, but I kind of lost interest in it. But what I saw, I really liked, if that makes sense.
Yeah, those are kind of the top three that I've been kind of watching lately on some of the stuff there. So, movie-wise, you know, I did see Barbie, just like Chris was talking about before. Yeah. You know, it's kind of in the world of this business, you want to make sure you know what you're talking about, right? And had to see what the hype was all about. So I did see Barbie, and it was fine. I didn't have a problem with it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's funny with The Crown. I thought I didn't really watch it. I'm just not really huge into the Queen and all that kind of stuff. It's never really helped
me neither.
But everybody raves about that show. And I thought, all right, well, I'm hosting the show Nightlight. This is what we talk about. I got to check this out. So I sat down, I clicked play on episode one, and I watched the entire episode of episode one, season six.
Oh no. So
they got Princess Diana. I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, they must be flashing back. They must start, and then it's nonlinear or something. And then my wife's like, no, you idiot. That's season six you just watched. So I got off to the wrong foot. I got off on the wrong foot with The Crown, but I am going to revisit it at some point. It gets great reviews. So yesterday, Jason, it was Jim Carrey's birthday.
Yeah.
We've been playing a lot of Jim Carrey clips. Last night, we played a couple tonight that we didn't get to because we like them. And Conrad loves Ace Ventura. I love Dumb and Dumber. Do you have a favorite Jim Carrey movie?
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Great movie. That's a great movie.
There's just so many great one-liners that we can't maybe say. But, you know, there are just so much good in there. Ace Ventura is great, though, too, right? It's really, really kind of the top for me on that. So I'd go with those two as my faves.
Those are great answers. Dude, it was great talking to you tonight. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Continued success with the Thrasher Opera House. Check it out, folks, in Green Lake. They have a great venue, an intimate venue, and they book some really cool shows. So, Jason Mansmith, thank you so much for your time tonight. And have a great day.
Hey, happy to be back anytime. Thanks, guys, so much. Appreciate it.
All right. You too, buddy. So that was we really got – Conrad, that's what we call a roots show. We got into the Wisconsin roots. It was an organic going to different parts of the state. We got a little Green Bay, a little Green Lake, and then a little Milwaukee. It was fun. We kind of made the rounds. Anything you want to say before we get out of here about your guilty song? You feel like you need to defend yourself, or
well, I just got to say, I think Baby's growing on me again, and I might listen to it as soon as I leave.
It's not a bad show. You could probably, from where you live, from the station, you could probably hear it twice on your way home.
Exactly.
I would recommend. Hey, tomorrow night on the show, everybody, Lance Barber from the show Young Sheldon will be with us at 8:35. I would like to thank my guests tonight. They were always fun. Matt Miller, Chris Mays, and Jason Mansmith. Thanks for your calls and texts, as always, and have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Tune in to The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.